Good morning. Obviously, I'm not Ben. And as we get into the lesson, you're going to easily see that I'm not Ben. But I've titled this lesson, Count Your Blessings, and I think it's timely for what's going on in the situation in our world right now. You know, these current conditions have really got people feeling anxiety, depression, just being down in general. We've all been through a lot lately, and some more than others. And two main reasons, I mean, there's always trials going on in the world, but there's two especially unusual things that's gone on lately that's made it more difficult than usual for us. And one, of course, is the coronavirus. A lot of jobs are on hold, some of them lost. Even in our own congregation, you know, Brother Mike Huff, in the beginning, his job was on hold. They couldn't go to work for a while. We're so thankful that God blessed him and allowing him to have that job back again. But there's a lot of other people, too, still even today, that are jobless. It's a stress. It's a strain. And then there's closures. A lot of the stores, some things have finally opened back up, but some still have not. You know, from stores to restaurants, recreation and entertainment, and even churches. There's churches, even though, and we're very fortunate and blessed to be able to meet here, and that our elders have decided, even though we do practice safe things, we're able to meet together here. There's some states where some of the churches are still not able to meet, which is just really, to me, a violation of God's law. If you can make it work, you should make it work. And, of course, restaurants being closed is one that affects me because I love to eat out. I love to eat in general. Even though I've been on a diet for several months, I kind of ended it a couple of weeks ago. And I hope Carolyn don't mind me saying, she was kind of giving me a hard time that I said, that's enough. You've lost too much. My face kind of got a little sunk in a little bit. But anyway, I'm doing fine. And then there's schools. Schools is a big thing that's been affected by this virus. So many states and towns, municipalities are still wondering, are we going to let our kids go back to school live or do the online thing? I mean, obviously, in-class schooling is the best way, but it also presents a different problem because it's a problem for our not only for the kids, but for the parents, because most families today, both the mother and father are working, and if their kids are not in school, what do they do with them? You know, they've had that problem when they had to let out early this past year, and it'll be the same problem for the next year if they don't get to open up. So that brings on, the virus has really brought on a lot of problems. It can get us down and make us wonder about things. And an even more recent huge problem is all the protesting, rioting, looting, and really in general anarchy that's going on right now in our country. You know, if you listen to the majority of what the media says, they say that it's mostly peaceful protests. Well, a complete look at the facts and the videos show that it's predominantly rule by mob, or at least rule by one-sided, non-negotiable views at best. So that brings on a huge problem. There's a lot of unrest right now, civil unrest. And you have to stop and think, well, why? Why is this going on? And what's the purpose? What is their purpose? You know, sure, there's people who honestly want change, but there's a lot of mischaracterization going on right now. And it's just unjustified. The first mischaracterization is of our police and our military. They're labeled as systematically racist and violent. Well, that's just not true. Sure, there's bad people in any job. Unfortunately, the police is an area where lives can be at risk because of their actions. But that one bad officer in Minneapolis, it's not typical. Not typical at all. And he should clearly be heavily punished. And he is being. Justice is being served to him, and we hope that it will be fully served. But you can't label an entire police force around the entire country as being violent and racist because of one person's actions or even a couple of people's actions. Should we care about it? Yes. Should we try to improve? Of course. But you can't label, mischaracterize the police because of that. The overwhelming majority of police go out of their way to serve and protect us, and they deserve our respect and obedience. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul wrote, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, and to be ready for every good work." That's our duty as Christians, to obey. I watched some videos that were clips that were shown over the past few weeks, and one of them was of a Hollywood actor who is black, and I was a bit surprised, but this is from a couple of years ago when some other police incidents had happened. And what he was saying is, you know, if we take the approach as blacks to react to the police in a different way, even though they may be wrong, even though they may be harassing us, or they may not be, but our reaction to them will definitely produce a different outcome as to the way the police will treat us. And that's true. And as Christians, we have to do the same thing. And then there's mischaracterizations of white Americans. Right now, that big crowd of the protesters are basically all, not all of them are doing it, but the majority of them are labeling all whites as systematically racist. Well, we know that's false. That's just totally false. It's a hateful statement, and it's very personal for all of us. Is there still some racism in this country? Sure, but it's rare. It's small. It's an extreme minority stance. And sure, it did. Prejudice and racism did exist in our country's past, but it didn't include all whites. And most of that racism or prejudice was really, it was through ignorance rather than through outright hate. So we're being mislabeled. And the bottom line for Christians, though, still, there is no place for racism, whether it's to blacks, any other color, creed, background, origin. There's just no place for it as a Christian, period. And I believe that us here in this congregation and Christians in general are living examples of that. And we're not what we're being accused of. And then there are mischaracterizations of our country and its history. Were there, quote, sins of our past? Yes, there were. Slavery being, you know, a primary example of that. It was not right, but it did happen. Even though in the founding, the goal was to eliminate that and that all people are created equal. But the people in these protests only know snippets and one-sided views of our history. They don't realize, or some of them don't even want to know, the truth in all of our history. And only one thing that people don't realize is only a minority of the whites back in that time owned slaves or used slaves. It wasn't everyone. Was it still a bad thing? Was it still wrong? Of course. But, you know, the movement that's going on right now is labeling it as just, we were just totally racist from the founding, and we still are today, and it's just totally false. Americans of all colors and backgrounds have been working towards racial equality and making changes for well over 150 years, for a long time. And progress has been made all the time during that period. Some of these results, well, first was the Emancipation Proclamation, which freed the slaves. And then there were the Civil Rights Acts of the 1950s and 60s. And then there was the famous ruling of Brown versus Board of Education. That was back in 1954. And this was a Supreme Court ruling. This was about, of course, during that time, there was segregation. Separate but equal laws were in place. And a person Mr. Brown, whose daughter was trying to go to a school and become integrated. It was an all-white school, and the school didn't want to let them in. So they went to court. It wound up going to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court gave a unanimous decision which ended segregation and ended the separate but equal laws that were in place since shortly after the Civil War. So I would say that was a huge progress. Well, it's being ignored. Those kind of things are just totally being ignored today with a lot of this crowd and a lot of the things that's going on. But we can't ignore all of our history. We can't ignore the progress that has really taken place. In fact, a lot of people don't realize this, but there was a song that was written right shortly after this Brown versus Board of Education decision. The name of the song is called Black and White. I never heard of it, never knew it until 1972. And some of y'all may remember the group Three Dog Night. They were famous for that song, Joy to the World, about Jeremiah was a bullfrog. That's kind of a strange thing. But anyway, that was a popular hit for them. And then a couple of years later, they had this song. They used that song. They didn't write it. It was written back in 1954, but Black and White. And it was a big hit for them. And that was showing people were very accepting of that. In fact, I'd like to read it. I think it says a lot. It says, the ink is black. The page is white. Together, we learn to read and write. A child is black. A child is white. A whole world looks upon the sight, a beautiful sight. And now a child can understand that this is the law of all the land, all the land. The world is black, the world is white. It turns by day and then by night. A child is black, a child is white. Together they grow to see the light, to see the light. And now at last we plainly see, we'll have a dance of liberty. Well-written song, a great meaning. That's been accepted. We've moved forward with this. We've seen that progress in our country. And we thank God for that. What we're being labeled at today is just not right. And so to believe what most of the protesters are accusing us of is to erase all the progress that has been made. It's a very sad thing. Still, many leaders, and this is the thing that bothers me the most, is that there's many leaders, executives, and business owners who are giving in to the protesters' false accusations and really taking a knee to our country and to law and order. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you're truly a good person, you don't have to swear. That was his point in that scripture. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. You don't have to go out and paint a big sign across the street. You don't have to do a lot of things. Live the life that a Christian should live, and that will be reflective to people, to others. Anyway, I'm not downplaying the fact that some unright things have gone on in our country over the years, but the way it's being portrayed today is just false. And between that and the virus situation, all the closings, all the things that's going on, all the uncertainty, and just hearing these things over and over has really brought me down. I'm worried about if our nation and our society can recover from this. And it's actually even affected my faith and my enthusiasm. But we can't let that happen. Although it's pushing, it's trying on us. So really, the point of this lesson is this. As Christians, we cannot allow things like this to drag us down. Think about what the early Christians had to go through, those first century Christians. They were tortured. They were heavily persecuted. Some of them put to death. This is not the same. This is not on that level. Sure, it's irritating. Sure, it's depressing. Sure, it's annoying. Nobody wants to be falsely accused of something, especially racism. That's just a label nobody wants to have. And it would be just as wrong for us to label Hispanics or blacks or anybody else by that same way. It's wrong. As Christians, we can't do it. And vice versa, they shouldn't be doing it to us. But the point of the lesson is we can't let this get us down. We're Christians. We've got something better. And lucky for me, something happened last week that caused me to think differently. What happened, I believe it was Thursday afternoon. I was sitting at my desk at home because having to work from home now, which I'm not complaining. I'm liking it. Saving a lot on gas and wear and tear on the car and a lot of stress I'm not having to go through with all that driving back and forth to Austin. But anyway, I was sitting at my desk working. It was in the afternoon, and I heard a faint sound coming from outside my window from down the street. I said, that sounds like an ice cream truck. And so as seconds passed, the sound kept getting louder. I said, that really does sound like an ice cream truck. So I got up and went to the window and could look down the street, and sure enough, very slowly, here comes an ice cream truck. Well, of course, in past summers in our neighborhood, and of course for most of us growing up, ice cream trucks were very commonplace. We all loved to go out and, Mom, can I have a nickel? Can I have a dime? What, I think it was about a nickel back then. You go out and get you a popsicle or whatever. Trust me, it's a lot more expensive today, but nonetheless, it's a sight that all kids and even some of us adults like to see. So I looked out and I noticed too, as he got closer, there weren't any kids outside, which is not common. It was pretty hot. And sometimes kids just aren't going out as much as they used to. But anyway, I just suddenly felt compassion toward the guy. I felt sorry for him. You know, I hate to see someone fail that's trying to make a living. So I ran to Evelyn and said, you got a few dollars? And she did, and she gave them to me. So I said, do you want something? So I ran outside, and luckily he had stopped just past our house. There was one family across the street that the mom brought their kids out. So I went up, and I got me and Evelyn an ice cream, got her a milkshake, and got me an ice cream cone. You should be proud of me, Carolyn. And I ate it all, too. But anyway, I had compassion on the guy, and I was glad I did it. Of course, you might think of something else. If we have compassion on people for those type of reasons, shouldn't we have that same or even more enthusiasm for people's souls? But you bet we do. Of course, that's a separate lesson. I'm not going there today. But nonetheless, I got the ice cream. I ate it. I enjoyed it. I was glad I got it. And glad to see that the guy was getting some business. Hopefully he got some more business. But afterwards, I started thinking about how fortunate I am. I've got a great job, a comfortable life. You know, just things like that. Things that so many in this world don't have. There's so many countries where they're starving. You know, they're still extremely poor. What we call poor in our country, it's not poor. I've been to some of these other countries, and it's different. I'm sure many of y'all have witnessed it too. So we're blessed. We're extremely blessed in this country. Even with all the craziness going on, we're blessed. And more importantly, I realized how fortunate I am to be a Christian. There's no better blessing than that. So anyway, I thought about that, and immediately it cheered me up. I felt good. I felt motivated. And I'm still trying to hang on to that enthusiasm. And just being here together with y'all makes a difference. I wish we could meet more often. That's just a boost in our morality, for sure. It's Christians to be around Christians. But during these times, just as a side note, during these times when we can't meet as often, we got phones, you know, we can text, we can call, we can email, there's things we can do. And I'm guilty of that. I should be calling, especially the people who can't make it. We should be talking to those people. They're our brothers and sisters. We need to let them know we care. And that'll help us too. Anyway, that's why I asked for the song to be sung, When Upon Life's Billows, or Count Your Blessings. In fact, I'd like to read that right now. It's just, the words of it are great. It's an encouragement to all. It's Song 643. When upon life's billows, if you're tempted, tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And you know, that's the key. You got to count them. If you just say, yeah, I'm blessed, and let it go, you're not really going to think about it. Count them. Name them. Then you'll realize how blessed you are. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done, because he really has. Verse 2, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy that you're called to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you will be saying, and you will be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their heads, with their lands and their gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So, amid the conflict, whether it's great or small, don't be discouraged. God is over all. God's in control. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. The beautiful song, something we should remember and practice every day of our lives. So, should we be concerned with things like the virus and the civil unrest that's going on? Well, sure, because it affects our daily lives. But should we let these things control our lives and bring us down? Absolutely not. We can't let that happen. Instead, we should seek comfort and peace through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest passages to bring that home is a psalm that we're all familiar with, Psalm 23, and I'd like to read that. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful psalm. What a beautiful inspiration that God gave David to write that. Also, Jesus tells us in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, and Lord knows we do. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If we can just keep that thought in our mind at all times, Jesus has overcome the world. Yes, all these bad things are going to happen from time to time, sometimes worse than others. But no matter what comes our way, remember that Jesus said he has overcome the world. We have that hope. We have a home in heaven waiting for us because of that. And we can't let things of this world bring us down. That should outweigh everything, is our joy, knowing that we have a Lord and Savior and a home in heaven waiting for us. And that's what we've got to strive for. So, I know it's a short lesson, but I think it's a very important one. So what I say to you, brothers and sisters, is always take the time to count your blessings. Now, as always, we want to offer an invitation. If you've heard the word of God, and we often list the five steps of becoming a Christian, and sometimes I think, well, hearing is obvious. But, you know, hearing is extremely important because it's what you hear that makes the difference. You've got to hear the word of God. I mean, you can hear all kinds of, quote, religious leaders out there saying anything, but that's not what we got to listen to. We got to listen to the word of God. And we can hear that word of God right through our Bibles. And if you hear it and believe it, then you know you've got to take the next steps, and that's to repent of your sins. Turn away from your life of sin and turn it to God. Count those blessings and you will. And then come and make that good confession that Jesus is Lord and Savior and put him on in baptism to become part of him and to become part of his church. if you need to do that, there's no better time than right now. Or if you need prayers of the church, if you've gotten down because of all the things going on, prayer from your brothers and sisters is strength. That'll boost you back up quickly. I know it does me. But anyway, if there's any need you have this morning and you need to respond, would you please come and do that now as we stand and sing the invitation song?